The scripture reading is Genesis chapter 8, verses 6 through 12. Genesis 8 is the time of Noah's flood. So once you find the scripture, if you'll stand, and we'll read, I'll read the scriptures to you. Genesis chapter 8, verses 6 through 12. And maybe you'll notice something that's in this particular little part of Noah's flood. It says in verse 6, "And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also, he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet another 7 days. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet another 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him anymore." You may be seated. This was a very different message for me. I really haven't had this happen very much. But I was just fixated upon answers in Genesis before I met the person in the Bible study. And I just kept typing and typing, and then go back and correcting and just typing and typing. So I typed up this article, and this is what I'm going to present to you today. The June 2011 Saturday Inquirer had another story about the Answers in Genesis New Park in nearby Grant County, Kentucky. The headline was, "Ark work would start soon," with the secondary headline being, "Tax rebates pave way for a $172 million attraction." It was on page one, located at the top of the paper. And it continued on to page A12. So it's the the most important article in the paper, was this about Answers in Genesis. And that just really ticks me off. One wonders why this organization get such good promotions from the newspaper. You think they'd give us a good article? And this story is not unique. There have been many stories about Answers in Genesis throughout the years. Many of them front page stories. I remember when Dan took me to their little shop in the strip mall. It was the book and tape ministry room, located in their headquarters in Florence, Kentucky. And since we are living right smack in their headquarters, we need to say something about Answers in Genesis, which is a global organization now. In around 20 years, they have built a museum which is worth over $30 million, and it is totally paid for. That's one good thing they do. And now they plan to build a $172 million park with a full-size replica of Noah's Ark, a walled city with retail, food, and themed venues, a children's play area, a Tower of Babel with a special effects theater, and a Noah's Animals area with a petting zoo. Other exhibits include a Journey Through History themed attraction, a first century village, an aviary, and a special effects area for large gatherings. Both of these attractions are and will be in Northern Kentucky. This organization, Answers in Genesis, has offices in what we would call white communities and is doing a valuable work in producing books and videos that counter the claims of evolutionists, although they basically teach a form of evolution themselves. I am aware of the forces that support Answers in Genesis, these being the same powers that are supporting similar multicultural anti-Christian organizations such as Alpha, Promise Keepers, the Full Gospel Businessmen Association, Billy Graham Ministries, producers of many modern Bible versions, and a multitude of other ministries. These forces are the anti-Christian powers seeking one world government under man, not God. The essence of my criticism is to show that Answers in Genesis supports the humanistic and unbiblical brotherhood of man doctrine, which also is a Hindu, Roman Catholic, Masonic, Jewish, Judeo-Christian, and world church belief. There is a major acceptance today in Judeo-Christianity of defiance to revealed biblical law. Most of their churches, like the church that I grew up in, which is a Baptist church, teach that the law of God was nailed to the cross of Jesus Christ. In other words, the law of God is now totally of no use to New Covenant churches. And that's what I was told. I used the popular phrase Judeo-Christian, which infers that Christianity arose from Judaism. Yes. We can appreciate if a form of Christianity did arise from the source, then it arose from those whose traditions Jesus condemned as, quote, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, unquote. That's Mark 7:13. Thus, Judeo-Christianity, as stemming from Judaism, must evolve another gospel. This is what concerns me about Answers in Genesis. What might be termed Hebrew Christianity or Israel Christianity does not defy revealed biblical law, as does humanistic Judeo-Christianity, nor is it multicultural. For instance, less than 60 years ago, mixed racial unions were illegal in most of the states in the United States and other white nations. But now they are tolerated as being supposedly within God's plan. Under the influence and promotion of Jewish, Masonic, Papal, Communist, Socialist controlled governments and media, Western Christianity has succumbed to the approval of race mixing. And we will be looking at what is behind this. The Bible abounds with evidence of God's clear will that the races will be separate in every way. Answers in Genesis mold all its answers around Judeo-Christian doctrines and traditions. and claims a different basis and definition of race from that which the Bible gives. Furthermore, there is evidence of Jewish Talmudic sources of which the Apostle Paul calls Jewish fables. Because some might think these are extreme statements, I will go into some detail on their doctrines. Number one, in claiming that there is only one race, what race is that? The human race. That's what they claim. One race, the human race. Answers in Genesis denies the basis of the doctrine of predestination, or any concept of a chosen race, which are featured throughout the Bible. In fact, you've got one whole segment of Christianity that's Calvinistic, another segment that's Arminian. On page 51 of their infamous book, and I have the book here if you want to look at it, One Blood is their book. On page 51, here's the quote. According to the Bible, all people on earth today are descended from Noah and his wife, his three sons and their wives, and before that, Adam and Eve, Genesis 1 through 11. Well, that's an absolute lie. This statement in Answers in Genesis denies any people being before Adam or any people being besides Adam. This also exposes their false doctrines of Noah's flood being worldwide. Two, in claiming one origin and destiny for all peoples, Answers in Genesis denies the prophetic word about, quote, the seed of Abraham, unquote, the regathering of Israel, and the restoration of the kingdom to Israel. They deny all that. They fail to see that even Israel's different tribes and kingdoms have different destinies, which in itself destroys their concept of the equality of all races. For example, was there a tribe in Israel that was destined to kingship? Yes, there was. Was there a tribe in Israel that was destined to the priesthood? Yes, there was. Was there a tribe in Israel that was destined with the birthright? Yes, there was. Was there a kingdom in Israel that was destined to not be a people of God, but later to be a people of God? Yes, there was. And on it goes. Answers in Genesis deny all these destinies because they believe that all people are equal. Answers in Genesis by saying all vessels are the same denies, quote, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel into honor and another unto dishonor? Instead, Answers in Genesis says on page 96 of the book, One Blood, listen to what they say, quote, the Christian church could greatly relieve the tensions over racism if only the leaders would teach that all people are descended from one man and woman, and all people are equal before God. Furthermore, all are sinners in need of salvation. All need to build their thinking on God's word and judge all their culture aspects accordingly. All need to be one in Christ and put an end to the rebellion against the Creator, end quote. That's absolutely, totally wrong. In other words, just disbelieve what our Savior told us. He said, beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees. I would like to see the churches beware of those doctrines. The fourth thing. Answers in Genesis claim that Jesus descended from Noah through women. Well, Joseph was not the generic father of Jesus. No male sperm was involved and no egg from Mary ovaries either. Mary was the birth mother of Jesus, but without racial gen input. From the viewpoint of Roman Catholicism, Mary did not provide the egg, therefore the question of her Mary conception is totally wrong. If the first Adam did not need a mother or father's genes, why should the second Adam need them either? Answers in Genesis claim, just as the Jews do, that Jesus descended from Noah through women. They believe that everyone except Noah and his family were destroyed by Noah's flood. This is approaching the Roman Catholic doctrine that Jesus came through Mary, who, quote, as the Savior of the human race, was preserved exempt from all stain of original sin, unquote. This is quoted from a Roman Catholic teaching about their doctrine of the Immaculate Conception. In a subtle, indirect way, this lines up with the New Age Mother Earth, Mother Mary, Lilith, Lady Gaga, etc. The teaching of multiracial Jewry is that a Jew is a person who has a Jewish mother. But the Bible shows that genealogies are reckoned through the male side. That is, a male begets a male down the line. All throughout the book of Genesis, and particularly in Matthew 1 and Luke 3, and many, 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 many other scriptures, without a doubt, discriminate this point. For answers in Genesis to claim that Jesus descended from Noah is absolute wickedness for another good reason. Jesus had no human father, but Joseph being his legal father only. As the legal father, Joseph provided to Jesus the legal right to the crown. If Jesus descended from Adam or Noah, he would have had men's sinful blood and could not be the spotless Lamb of God, and thus could not be the redeemer of his kinsmen, or for that fact, he could not be the redeemer of anybody. He would be sinful. He could not be the sinless God. His deity would be destroyed. Another false gospel is created. Jesus was begotten the same as Israelites are. That is, they are begotten of God. Thus, he is able to only be the kinsman redeemer of his covenant people, Israel. Answers in Genesis believe that all people come from one original man and woman. But the Bible does not say that all races come out of one womb. Jesus was born of a woman, and that was Mary of the tribe of Judah, but was begotten of God the Father. Answers in Genesis believe that all mankind is of one, and you fill in the word, is of one, not seed, that's a good guess. Blood. Very good. Acts chapter 17, verse 26. If you want to open up and look at that, Acts 17, 26, let's do that. Acts chapter 17, verse 26. This is the verse many people, and of course, including answers in Genesis, like to use to support the idea that there is no differences between the races. And it says, he has made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Well, doesn't it say one blood? Does anyone in their Bible have blood that's italicized? Raise your hand if it's italicized in your Bible. Is the word blood italicized? There's one. Margin note. Do you know that in the majority of Bible manuscripts, which is over 400, the word blood is not even there? It's not there. It's not in your, not in yours at all. Even Schofield agrees that the word blood is not in the manuscripts. The consensus of opinion among authorities that the word blood should be omitted as not being in the original manuscripts. Then how in the world is it there? In most King James, the word blood is in italics, which means that it was not in the original, but it was added by the translators to make it more meaningful. But what if it shouldn't be there? Ephesians chapter 2, Ezekiel chapter 37, which we studied in previous messages, and many other scriptures, also tells us of this same view that God had put the two former divided and hostile kingdoms of Judah and Israel together and has reunited them as being one. Let's read without the word blood. And has made of one all nations that dwell on the face of the earth. The translators deliberately misled its readers. The verse is an excellent demonstration of how people can try to use one part of a verse to prove their point, but at the same time ignore the rest of the verse that flatly contradicts what they are trying to say. The second part of this verse is stating that God made boundaries. We're offering different people or races were ordained of God to live separated from one another. Answers in Genesis can't have it both ways. Answers in Genesis describes different groups supposedly arising from Noah's descendants as being a development over an undefined period of time, whereas the Bible presents racial origins much different from their position. Notice how the Bible defines in a very short time how two nations came to be and also how they are descended from the male. Quote, thus were the daughters of Lot with child by their father, and the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab. The second is the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Ben-Ammi. The same is the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. Oh, but this is found in Genesis chapter 19, verses 36 through 38, eight chapters away from chapter 11, the last chapter answer in Genesis supposedly uses. The Moabites and Ammonites did not arise from any such undefined development and remains as specific races throughout the Bible, being precisely defined rather than undefined. The claim that all races came from Noah cannot hold water as is based upon the manufactured wrong idea of one blood. The sixth reason, answers in Genesis has the wrong definition of after their kind. Answers in Genesis believes the term kind means family, such as the family of all fish, birds, and cattle. In other words, they believe that God created one male and one female, fish, bird, or cattle, from which all fish, birds, and cattle were reproduced, only one of each sex. They didn't even consider the clean and the unclean animals. Page 35 of their book, One Blood. Quote, now let's consider a scenario in history. Two members of the dog slash wolf kind that God had selected to be on Noah's ark got off this enormous ship in the Middle East after the flood. Now, how many wolves or dogs did they have on the Noah's Ark? Two. How long ago was Noah's Ark? 4,500 years ago. So you only have two dog wolves in the whole world. These dogs mated and had offspring. And then these mated and had more offspring, and so on. Eventually, small groups of dogs started splitting away from the main group and went off by themselves in different directions. Is there a verse of this particular statement? As a result, small populations of dogs were separated from each other. This obviously split up the gene pool, resulting in a number of populations with different combinations of genes. Unquote. Do people read these books? So all the different dogs and wolves in the world today came from the parents of just two wolf dogs that got off the ark in Noah's day. I call that rank heresy. They do not believe that God created all the different kinds of fish, birds, and cattle, but they really evolved from one male and female. They don't use the word evolve, but that's really what they're saying. They follow this belief with mankind too. They believe that all men of all races descended from one man and woman, and this special parent was of what color? What color do they say was Adam and Eve? Mid-brown. And from this one male and female, they evolved. They don't use the word evolved either, but that's what they're saying. They evolved into the different races. If you get two people mixed brown, how in the world can you get a white? How in the world can you get a black? How in the world can you get a yellow? They state plenty that there is only one race. There's only one race in the world, the human race. The word race is wrong. It should be people groups. Noah was instructed to take two, one male and one female of every kind of unclean and seven pairs of male and female of every kind of clean animal in the land where he lived. And they did not live in the entire world, only in one part of the earth. They didn't live in North America. They didn't live in Central America. They didn't live in South America. They didn't live in Europe. They didn't live in Central or Southern Africa. They didn't live in the Antarctic. They lived in one part of the world. Answers in Genesis do not believe that the kind meets species or genus because they would have to build a much larger ark than they are going to reproduce in Kentucky. What a massive boat they would build if you put all the different kinds of all the animals in the entire world onto that boat. It would take a lot of people even to feed them. A lot of people keep them separate from killing each other. But what animals did Noah on the ark? You remember the scripture reading we read? How many birds did Noah let loose from the ark? First, there was the raven. The raven is a clean or unclean animal. Unclean. And then he let the what other bird loose? The dove a couple times, didn't he? The dove is a clean animal. He let an unclean animal off first, then he let a clean bird off a couple times. Oh, there's two different birds, right? There's two different birds on the ark? A raven, an unclean, and a dove, a clean? Is that a problem for their position? I wonder what kind of bird they would reproduce. If they would reproduce, but they don't mate. Would it be a clean or unclean animal? They would not mate together. Answers in Genesis fails to consider they are clean and unclean animals and holds the bizarre position that a wolf and a poodle all come from the same parents 4,500 years ago. In Leviticus chapter 11, verse 22, there is a delineation between different clean insects. Quote, even these of them you may eat, the locust after his kind, and the bald locust after his kind. And the beetle after his kind. And the grasshopper after his kind. Even Leviticus 11:15 says, every raven after his kind. Of course, Answers in Genesis only teaches the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis. As Pastor Blanchard has pointed out, that Answers in Genesis has said that the transformation only took 200 years after the flood. Oh, they slipped that in. In 200 years, these two animals, a male and female, created all the different species in 200 years. I just call this super fast evolution. The word law, the word kind in the law clearly means different genera or species within a general category or family of bird, animal, or reptile. Answers in Genesis teach a misleading and otherwise untrue definition of the meaning of kind, contrary to the scripture's intention. All species did not develop through natural selection from one pair of created plant or animal kind. God, our Father, created all the different variations of creation. Every kind or species of plant, tree, cattle, bird, reptile, fish, and so on. To say otherwise is to rob God of his intended meaning in his written word and do what to his creative power? Diminish his creative power. That is exactly what Answers in Genesis does. They say that all plants, animals, and mankind started from one male and one female, or from one plant, and then evolved into different species that they now are in. And they are the opponent of evolution. They also teach a shorter but much faster form of evolution. The seventh reason this kind referred to mankind too. You remember in Genesis 8 about the unclean raven, the unclean bird, the raven, and the clean bird, the dove. How'd they get clean and unclean? They were born that way. Are people born that way too? One can read from Genesis to the end of Revelation, and the entire corpus of the Bible speaks of one God who is to come and save his people and utterly to regather, reunite, and restore who? His people. To the land promised in covenant made to Abraham and his holy seed forever. The Bible also tells of another people who are opposite and imposters of the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The seed of Cain, Canaan, Edom, Shelah, and etc. The seed of Abraham has their name on the 12 gates of New Jerusalem, while the seed of the Jews are destined to hell. Quote, but all peoples are equal, unquote, says Answers in Genesis. The holy city, New Jerusalem, Revelation 22:12, quote, and had a great wall and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Revelation 22:14, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the name of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. If God has a chosen race or an elect race, then all other races must be what? Unchosen. Yes. Answers in Genesis, and almost all churches declare that this matter has changed from one of race to one of what? Belief. Even if they cannot find the scriptures to support it. The Bible teaches racial separation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16b and 17, which says, quote, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God. And they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them. And be ye separate, says the Lord. And touch not the unclean, probably your Bible says thing, and I will receive you. Answers in Genesis, and almost all preachers wrongly use the word things rather than people. Touch not the unclean people. When we look at this verse, the general teaching is there should be a separation of one people, not thing, from another. It's about people. Matthew 25, 32 shows how this verse is by this showing the separation of Israelites according to whether there are sheep or goats. Quote, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. Touch means carnal intercourse. Unclean people are not to be touched by clean people. Acts 10:28 shows that a person from the kingdom of Judah should not call any man from the house of Israel common or unclean, now that the Savior of the house of Israel has died and been resurrected. For once he was divorced and unclean, but now he is made clean by the blood of his Redeemer. Bible genetics is a great Bible subject, but there is not a Judeo-Christian church or a universal Roman Catholic church that can handle it, probably because, one, it is not given to them to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God, or two, their manufactured doctrines will not cope with it, or three, their false universalism doctrines demands that they cannot believe Bible genetics. Why? It totally opposes their doctrine. Answers in Genesis would rather argue with the potter, who makes different people, vessels, some for glory and some for destruction. Quote, has not the potter power over the clay? Of the same lump to make one vessel into honor and another into dishonor, unquote, Romans 9:21. Answers in Genesis, and almost every church in existence today denies what the Bible says about the holy seed. The matter of the holy seed is the line through Adam, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob Israel is called the holy people, is totally ignored and totally rejected by answers in Genesis. Now let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 9 and let's look at what it says. Ezekiel chapter number 9. And we're going to read just the first five verses. Now Ezekiel is in the time of where Israel was in the house of Judah was in the Babylonian captivity for 70 years. And remember Daniel prophesied of that the kings of the Medes and the Persians would conquer Babylon with the handwriting on the wall, and they were conquered by diverting the Euphrates River that went right through the city, and they went in and killed them all. And then the king eventually, remember the king was the one who threw Daniel in the lion's den? And afterwards, what did he do? He proclaimed to everyone in his kingdom that they were to, they'll say nothing bad about the God of Daniel. Daniel was second in all command. Well, the king, after 70 years, let him go back. All right, chapter 9. So they go back to Jerusalem to build the city. Now, when these things were done, the princes came to me, saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, remember we read about Moabites, the Egyptians and the Amorites. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons. Oh, they've married them. Oh, they married into the holy seed, married into an unholy seed. So that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands? You mean to say that the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, the Amorites were unholy seed? Yea, the hand of princes and rulers have been cheap in this trespass. And when I heard this thing, what did Ezra do? I rent my garment and my mantle and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard and sat down astonished. That would hurt. Pull out the hair of your beard and the hair of your head. I think he was very, what, upset? Why? What's the reason? The holy seed mingled with unholy seed. There were assembled unto me everyone that trembled at the words of the God of Israel because of the transgression of those that had been carried away, and I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. And at the evening sacrifice, I arose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and mantle, I did what? I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God. That's why I don't sit and pray anymore. I fall on my knees, or I stand up and pray. Now, if you read the rest of chapter 9, you'll get more insight what it is. But let's go to chapter 10 and get a little things of what happened. Chapter 10, and when Ezra had prayed, and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women and children, for the people wept very sore. You think there's something bad happened here? They're all crying. They're weeping. And Shechaniah, the son of Jehiel, of the sons of Elam, answered and said unto Ezra, we have trespassed against our God and have taken strange wives. Now, strange to us means different. It's not that kind, is it? It's foreign wives, isn't it? Of the people of the land, yet now there is hope in Israel concerning this thing. What are they going to do? They have married all these lists of people whom God said don't marry. What are they going to do? Many of them have children. And this was a major trespass. Well, Let's see, verse 3. Now, therefore, let us make, a covenant. Let us make a covenant with our God to put away all the wives. You put away the wives. And such as are born of them. That's the children. You put away the wives and the children. According to whose counsel? According to the counsel of my Lord. And of those that tremble at the commandment of our God. And let it be done according to the law. Arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. We also will be with thee. Be of good courage and do it. Then arose Ezra and made the chief priests, the Levites, and all Israel to swear that they should do according to this word. And they swore that they would do it. And they did do it. They put away their wives. They put away their children. If you will turn now to Deuteronomy chapter 7. And if in your time off, if you'll read all of chapter 9, if you read all of chapter 10, you'll get more of what took place at that time. But let's turn, we'll read the first 6 verses of chapter 7. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it. Now there they are in the wilderness. They haven't got into their promised land yet. And hast cast out many nations before thee. Who did he cast out? The Hittites? Remember Hittites? The Girgashites? Amorites? Remember them? Canaanites? Perizzites? Hivites? Jebusites? 7 nations greater than mighty than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them, and you utterly destroy them. How in the world are all peoples equal? God says to kill them all. Well, this isn't Deuteronomy. They just go Genesis 1 to 11. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, no show of mercy to them. That also includes the marriage covenant. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto a son, nor his daughter unto thy son. Well, what if one of them became they wouldn't call him Christian back then, but it'd be a believer back then. They can't be a believer. They can't believe. It's impossible for them to believe the truth of God's holy word. For they will turn away thy son from following me. That tells you, they will turn away your children from following me. That they may what? Serve other, little g, gods. And that's what we're warned about. Don't serve other gods. Don't do what they do. In fact, you're supposed to go and kill them all. They didn't kill them all. Now they're there. Don't do what they do. Don't worship the way they do. Don't serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall you deal with them. You shall destroy their altars. Work tolerant and let them build their temples. You destroy them. Break down their images. Cut down their groves. Burn their graven images with fire. Why? Why do you destroy everything that they do? Because why? Thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has done what? Chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people on the face of the earth. And you can go on, read the rest of chapter 7 in your reading time this week. Look how they confuse the scripture. They say that Rahab was a Canaanite.